as important as it is to look back, how many know it's also equally important to look ahead? To look ahead. The Bible speaks to us about the importance of having dreams and visions for your future. And as we look ahead to 2026, I just want to spend a few minutes here just speaking to us about what God has put upon our heart as a pastoral team for New Life and for what God is doing in our midst here for 2026. This next year, 2026, is a pivotal year. It's an important year for us historically as a church. For those of you who are aware of New Life and our story, we began as a church that used to meet in one building, a little building on the corner of 44th and Palina in the back of the yards neighborhood on the southwest side of Chicago. That church officially was there for many, many years in different variations, but in 1986, it became known as what is known as New Life Community Church. And it was just 18 people who were praying, God, don't close our church. And from 1986, 40 years fast forward to 2026, we now have a church that meets in over 26 different locations, northwest suburbs, western suburbs, southwest suburbs, north side of Chicago, west side of Chicago, south side of Chicago. For those of you who don't know, there is an east side in Chicago. We meet there too. We even have northwest Indiana and 9 locations internationally. And over the last 40 years, through the grace of God, through his favor, through his provision, our church has grown from that little one location from 18 people to what you saw in that video just this last Easter. Over 13,000 people celebrated Easter Sunday with us just this past year. Can we give God praise for that? So next year, 2026, marks our 40 years of existence as a church. As a team, we've prayed, and we feel the theme that God has given us for this next year are these words. I want to share them with you today. It's that God, tomorrow, God moves. Tomorrow, God moves. That comes from the book of Joshua. Just let me give you the context of where that theme, that vision of what we feel God is doing with us here in this next year of 2026. In the book of Joshua, chapter 3, verse 5, the word of God says this, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Tomorrow, God moves. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. When Joshua speaks these words over the nation of Israel, they're at the foot of the river Jordan. The nation has been wandering for 40 years. You begin to see the kind of connection points there. For 40 years, the nation has wandered. Many of the original people that left Egypt are no longer there with them. As a matter of fact, the grand majority of them didn't make the 40 years. But Joshua's here. He's leading the people. They're at the River Jordan, and they're about to experience a grand miracle of God. Many of you are aware of how God split the Red Sea for the Israelites to travel through when the Egyptians were pursuing them. Well, God would do this again, this time in the River Jordan. And here, Joshua is with the nation, and he's telling the people, look, tomorrow we're going to see a grand move of God, but we need to do something before tomorrow. Today, we need to consecrate ourselves. They didn't know exactly what God was going to do. They just knew, without a doubt, that God was going to move. That is our heart. We don't know what God is going to do in 2026. We just know that God is going to move in a powerful way. Amen? And we want to be a part of it. And just like with Joshua here, before the miracle comes consecration. Before the miracle comes preparation. Before there's transformation, there's consecration, there's preparation. And here, this call as a church, and this is not only here at New Life Cicero, but throughout all of New Life, for tomorrow God moves, is a call for us to prepare our hearts. And I'm calling you into this season with us to prepare your heart for 2026, to deepen our unity as a church, to purify our devotion to God, to say, God, I want to be ready for your big move. I don't know what it is. I don't have all the answers. We don't have all the clarity. We don't have all the signs. All we know, God, is in faith, you will do something great in our midst in this next year. And we want to be ready for that, Lord. So this is about getting ready now. Get ready when? Now. Somebody say now. Now, get ready now for what God is going to do next. Sometimes we want the next without preparing now. And Joshua is saying, look, nation, look, Israel, if we're going to cross this river, if we're going to enter into that promised land, We will see the move of God tomorrow, but we need to prepare ourselves now. So this is what I'm calling you into. I'm asking you, would you link up with the church? Would you link up with your other brothers and sisters who are saying, Lord, we believe that in 2026, you are going to do something miraculous among us. We don't know what it is. We don't know when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen or where it will happen, but we know it's going to happen. In faith, we stand in that. So this is a season for us getting ready now for what God is going to do next. You know, the number 40 has a lot of significance in the Bible. As we enter into our 40th year in existence as a church, we sense the move of God to say we are entering into a new season. Just like the nation of Israel was entering into a new season, so are we. Let's do a very brief, quick walkthrough about the significance of the number 40 from Scripture. It's marked as a time of trial, of judgment. We see that in Noah's flood. For 40 days, it rained nonstop. It was a sign of God's judgment, 40 days of rain from Noah. In the city of Nineveh, the city of Nineveh was warned for 40 days of its impending destruction if they did not repent. The city of Nineveh repented and God spared that city. It was a time of a trial. We see Goliath, who for 40 days taunted the Israelite army until David was risen up to come and slay the giant. We know the number 40 represents judgment and trials in Scripture. As a church, we've gone through our trials. We've seen God move in our midst. Amen. It's also a time of preparation and revelation. Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai receiving the law, receiving God's commandments through the burning bush experience. We see Elijah, who traveled for 40 days as he fled from Jezebel before he experienced his turnaround. We see Jesus, who fasted for 40 days before entering into his public ministry. The number 40 represents preparation and revelation. And we feel like the Lord has been preparing us these first 40 for what's coming next. The number 40 also represents a time of fulfillment and new beginnings. Jesus, after his resurrection, walks with the disciples for 40 days and for 40 nights before he ascends into heaven. We see the reign of two very important kings in Israel, David and Solomon, who reestablished the temple, reestablished the worship, brought the Ark of Covenant into the house of God. We see the Israelites themselves, who for 40 years wandered through that desert. And now in Joshua 3, they are at the foot of the promised land after 40 years. The number 40 has a deep meaningfulness and a significance in Scripture, which we must pay attention to, that we are saying, Lord, we feel like you are calling us into this new season after 40 years of existence, because the number 40 marks the end of a testing period. Just like spiritual testing and purification, like metal is refined through the fire. For 40 years, God has been refining his church. The number 40 represents the closing of a complete era. It marks a full, significant duration, which leads usually to a new phase of divine action. The number 40 in Scripture is just not a random count. Most importantly, transformation. After the number 40, usually a new season opens with profound change, deliverance, and the fulfillment of God's plan. So as a church, we want to be attuned to what God is doing. We want to be connected to how God is leading us. We are finishing one 40-year period of existence and entering into the next phase. Tomorrow, God moves. This is about preparation. This is about consecration. This is not about prediction. We don't know what God's going to do. I'll be the first to say it. We have no idea. It would be ridiculous for us to stand here and tell you what God is going to do. It would be to elevate ourselves and to minimize God. And we don't do that in this church. But we trust God. And we know that God is a God of character, a God of who doesn't change. There's no shifting shadow within him, but he's consistent. And the number 40 means something to him. It's a number of transformation. So we want to be a church through consecration, through unity, through prayer, through preparation. We want to be ready for the move of God. And I'm calling you into participation with that. We want to have a posture of faith, of one that's of movement, of active faith. We don't want to just celebrate 40 years with passive nostalgia. Okay, we don't want to have just great picture shows and talk about old times and potlucks and baptisms and happenings that happened in the church. Hey, we want to look back and we want to celebrate that, but we are saying, God, we know that you have something even greater for us in these next 40 years. tomorrow, God move. So when does it start? This starts next week. Now, when you walked in this morning, you should have received a couple documents. Let me just call your attention to them. One was the sheet that we just kind of worked on where we looked back. But now it's time to look ahead, to say, God, what are you calling me to do in 2026? What are you leading me in this new year? So there are some questions there that we've provided for you to kind of get you thinking about these things. Next week, we also launch into our 21 days of prayer and fasting. You received this commitment card when you came in. We want you to know that we take this seriously. And I want you to have this document over this next week and pray on it and look at it and read it and consider how would God use you these 21 days of prayer and fasting. Would you commit to some kind of fast? We have lots of resources available to you at that Welcome Center. We have pamphlets. We have prayer guides. We even have calendars to get your children involved in this as well. For some of you, you've never fasted before. This is foreign to you. This is new to you. We want to prepare you. We want to make sure that you are educated, that you know how to do this the right way, so that it's something that's beneficial, not something that's just torturous to you, just like a diet or a fad. We don't do it for that. We do this to draw closer to the Lord, to consecrate ourselves. When Joshua said, consecrate yourselves, that's what he's saying. Set yourself apart for what God wants to do into your life. That is what we're calling you into. This next series that we begin next week is called Move In Us. Move In Us. We'll be going through the story of Nehemiah, this man who was called back home. God gave him this great mission, this great command, which was way above his station, way above his pay grade, way above his talents. But the man consecrated himself. The man trusted God, and God provided for him powerfully time and time again. And for some of us, maybe you're saying, what I feel God is calling me into in this next season is way above me. Well, guess what? You're in good company. God always calls you to something that's above you. That's why you need God. So I'm asking you to join us in this series called God Move In Us, because if we expect God to move through us, hear me well, before God can move through us as a church, as a people, before God can move through us, he must first move in us individually. All of us need to get into that space with the Lord to say, Lord, I am setting myself apart. I'm putting you on the throne of my life, and I'm trusting in you to move in powerful ways. Tomorrow, God will move.